Restaurants and chains, Dole Whips and churros, you are now tuned in to the Disneyholic Show.
Hello and welcome to the Disneyholic Show. That's Mike TV.
And that's Jen Diz.
Today we are super hungry for some Disney Parks food statistics. We then travel outside of the parks to grab a bite at Disney-owned restaurants around the states.
We got some juicy, appetizing Patreon takeover topics today.
We do. And the first one comes from Christina. Shout out to Christina. Hey, I call her Christy. Only person I think left calling her Christy, maybe Alicia, but it's pretty much it. Everyone else calls her Christina.
You know, back in the day, we called you Jenny.
Jenny. Yep. You guys, I always can tell how people know me. It's Jenny for my old school friends, Jen from every friend from, like, I don't know, 19 or probably like 2000 and on, and then Jennifer is like family or work.
Or work, yeah.
Right?
I remember it taking a while for me to get to transition to from Jenny to Jen, but now I'm so used to it that now Jenny sounds weird.
Right, yeah. You could have kept Jenny. I would have been fine with it. Danielle still calls me Jenny. Most of the
she's one up for sure.
Yep. Well, anyways, Christina wrote in and she wanted to have us cover some food statistics. Some of these, I guess we'll just go through them as we go, actually. I was going to list them off first, but let's just go through them. So the very first question was, what is the food that sells the most? Now, I reached out to some Disneyland chefs. Thanks for your input on this, guys. And I got back from them that the birria tacos, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
I wrote it out and someone deleted it. Did you delete that
for me? No, I didn't. How funny.
Oh, it must be later.
That's weird.
There it is. Birria. I always say, like, I couldn't remember how I used
birria,
to pronounce it. It was
birria,
wrong.
Birria.
So that is like kind of the current trend, like more commonly right now to be like really popular. However, if you look at all of history, it really leans on the snacks, and that goes over to the Dole Whip versus churro debate, which is always everyone's top two, right? And of course, they sell the most. You've seen the lines at the Dole Whip. Well, not anymore because it's mobile order now.
Wow.
Before then, you would see those lines trailing all the way down the side of the Tiki Room. So very popular, and of course, churro carts are found all over the park. So quick, easy to access, super yummy, and very classic for Disney, even though they only came out like the 80s or 90s.
Really?
Late.
You know, I went to, my last trip to Mexico City, I went to one of the places that are like most famous, one of the most famous churrascaria, I think that's what it's pronounced, and there was like the line around the block. It was like so popular, waited so long in line, and it was so fun. You get to watch them make it, the dough, the frying. I still like Disneyland's better. I hate to say it. It was really good. It was like its own thing, I guess. But like there's something about a Disneyland churro and holding it in your hand and walking around and eating it and it getting messy. It's just its own special thing. These ones were so... They were so handmade to the point that, like, each one looked different. Like, some were, like, really bent. Some were still in a curl. Some were shorter and longer. So it was, like, its own thing. I was like, okay, cool. I went to a homemade churro place, but nothing beats that Disneyland churro.
It's true. I like how they get them very, they don't taste super deep fried. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're not super heavy on the oil.
They're not greasy.
I don't know how they do it.
Right.
Probably because it's frozen first or something.
Ooh, don't,
I bet, but
don't,
like...
what is it? Don't ruin the magic. The other cool thing about churros is internationally, they have really cool ones, like in Tokyo Disney Sea and Tokyo Disneyland. Right. I always hear about really weird flavors. I think the strangest we've gotten in the States are like different colors or like Star Wars themed laser sugary. They're mostly sweet, not savory.
Oh, definitely all sweet. Yeah, they have lots of different flavors too during special events. Like they'll have like a lemon churro, or you know, they'll like have different flavors going on. I think they had a cherry one too, but and of course all the like mushroom.
They would have that in Japan for sure, probably.
Right. But there's also that one down in downtown Disney at Disneyland that always has like different cool churros in it. It's not the same as Disneyland though.
Now, do you dip or do you just eat it? Do you raw dog it?
Oh my god. A classic churro is my favorite. Like all the other like bells and whistles, I don't need them.
Yeah.
They're fine, but it sometimes like doesn't really combine for me well. Like I'll have it and I can either only taste the churro or only taste the sauce.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I agree.
They don't necessarily blend all the time.
I only most recently, like within the last like 10 years, started actually caring for the dip. But I really, even at a restaurant, like outside of Disney, I don't really need the dip. I just like it on its own. It's kind of like McDonald's fries. I could eat those without the ketchup.
100%.
Yeah. So, okay. Okay. And then the Dole Whip, you said, was the other popular food.
Yeah, they're kind of, all the stuff I was looking at shows them right at the top.
That right one, and they're both very, they hit different snack spots, so they don't necessarily need to compete. So I think that's okay. They can each hold their own as, like, the top foods.
You know what? I was actually really disappointed in myself. We recently went, I was with Andrew, who's one of our friends of the show, and also submitted a topic for this same episode. Hey, but
shout out, Andrew.
I was with him and Evan, and Andrew's dad was with us and had never been in the Enchanted Tiki Room. Ooh. And I was excited about that. I was like, sweet, let's go. And then I did not have him get a Dole Whip first. Like, what kind of Disney holic am I?
Yeah.
Like, that is part of the experience. It's part of the experience. You have to have a Dole Whip and eat it while you're watching the Enchanted Tiki Room. It, like, totally, like,
it's what Walt would want.
Other experience, yeah. So, fail on my part. Sorry, Andrew's dad, next time. Andrew, if he comes out again and I'm not around, get him that Dole Whip, please.
I've started seeing more and more Dole-branded Dole Whip, using those two words, like in the stores, mm-hmm. in the frozen aisles.
Yeah, yeah, you can buy it now. It's weird. Store. I've never tried it yet.
It doesn't say Disney, and I don't like that.
Right.
I thought only Disneyland had Dole Whip.
You're like, listen, Dole, I know this is your product. However, Disney made you famous for it.
Yeah. So, come on. Yeah. Like, otherwise say, like, pineapple frozen dessert or something.
Right. Right. And they would do that a lot. Like, every time I saw it at, like, Froyo places, they would never call it Dole Whip.
Right.
They would call it, like, pineapple whatever. Yeah.
Suckers.
But nonetheless, delicious, classic Disneyland vibes. Like, those kind of flavors just, you know, instantly make you think of Disneyland. So.
Well, you had also said, like, what's the word? Current, modern, contemporary, popular is the birria tacos. I've never had one yet.
Me either.
Yeah. And it just looks messy. You gotta, like, dip it in that greasy sauce.
I was gonna say, it looks like it's too heavy for a theme park day for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like a lot.
Like, oh, that looks like it's going to upset my stomach.
Yes, it seemed like it could potentially upset your stomach.
Right? Like, while I'm running around in Disneyland, it's, like, too much, so I haven't done it yet.
And I think, I'm curious. I'm assuming they kind of, I heard a term recently, gringo-fied. Like, they gringo-fied it a little bit.
Oh, right.
So I might try it. Another reason why, aside from the sauce, was I brought it up to Jerry. I was like, you know, birria tacos are so popular now, even at Disneyland. And he said those were traditionally made with goat, but I believe the ones they actually sell that have become popular all over are more like the beef and the chicken version,
right.
I think. And so I'm not a goat eater, so that both of those things, the sauce and the goat, turned me off. And you know, I like to be part of what's cool and try to taste it. I just haven't yet.
I'm always skeptical about trends. Yeah. Because sometimes they're just popular because they're popular, but sometimes they're popular because they're good.
Right. Yeah. You never know.
I do need to try it eventually. Maybe I'll just like try it on a light day at the park when I'm just chilling.
Yeah.
It's like, it just seems too much. But.
And it is more of a California Disneyland thing, less Disney World, at least from what I
see. Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yep. All right. I can also say here, this is kind of this area, I guess, but this is the food that sells the most to Christina. So I'm going to bring a personal aspect of hers. Caramel apple. Wait, apple pie caramel apple. Is that what it's called? It's like the one that's dipped in white chocolate and has the graham cracker on the bottom.
Oh, it's like the thing that she makes sense.
Every time I go to Disneyland for
I've never had one. Like, sounds
girl,
good.
Girl, I ain't buying you that $13 caramel apple unless you come see me like soon after because it's going to get old.
It sounds kind of good. I do like apple pies.
It is delicious. It's super good. So she's got good taste in there.
When you eat apple pies, do you put it in a bowl and pour milk in it?
No.
Oh, that's how I always ate it. And when you
pour milk in it.
Yeah. Or I guess nowadays
I basically use soy milk. Like I have it with ice cream, like vanilla ice cream.
Oh, a la mode. Yeah, I guess it's the same. It just melted already. That's how my grandma would serve it to us. And I really like it. And then when you said it's dipped the candy apple, I guess that makes sense. There's like the ice cream, milk, dairy flavor on it. Okay. Huh.
I was just about to say the most stupid thing ever. I'm like, I wonder where the apple part comes into play. Oh, you mean the giant apple in the center? Good Lord. Oh, wow. Today. Anyway, so the next question Christina asks is, what's the most expensive / most affordable items at Disney parks? Now, I'm going to say most affordable right now is like any of the smaller snacks. Like you get like the small things you can get that are healthy usually, which is good because they're cheaper, right? Like the Cuties, I think, was the actual official cheapest thing you could buy for food in the parks. Or the juice boxes. The juice boxes are also very, very cheap.
You know what I heard was...
affordable, sorry.
Or you know what I was surprised was fairly cheap? There was a food hack that I saw online. Mm-hmm. And it's like less than $15, I think. You get the pretzel thingy from Maurice's cart. And then you go to... the place in Adventureland with the kebabs. I'm spacing on the name.
Bengal barbecue.
And then you put it inside. You cut it and you put it inside and it makes this like super good sandwich, supposedly.
Oh, you put the skewer inside
it? You put all the meat inside. And it sounds like my mouth is watering already. It sounds really good.
Shoot, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
So I still haven't even tried the garlic thing. I was supposed to on my last trip, but I just didn't.
Ooh.
But, I might need to do that on my next trip. Jeez, that sounds hecka good. So most expensive, I don't know if this is a cheat, but it's definitely a dinner at 21 Royal.
Yeah.
Right. So if you guys aren't familiar, 21 Royal is a private dining experience. It is not closed off like Club 33 is to the public. Anyone can get a reservation as long as you get in there and have a date available. But it is $18,000 for your group of 12, which comes out to $1,500 per person, not even including the tip. So that is definitely the priciest food, meal, anything you could ever spend at Disneyland.
And I bet you most people have seen guests at 21 Royal. So if you're ever in New Orleans Square... and you see people hanging out on that balcony that goes over the bread bowl soup kitchen counter window. Those are people enjoying their $18,000 dinner at 21 Royal. Very cool.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy. And so good. Oh, my God.
Very good. Whew. Wine pairing. Right. It comes with wine pairing, if that's something people like. Yeah.
Yes. And non-alcoholic wine, which I didn't even know was a thing.
Yeah.
And I found out, and it was delicious. So
more and more. I'm like, am luckily, I duped? I'm seeing more and more of those zero proofs and mocktails on menus. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. Oh my God, they made this mocktail called the Lily Bell. It was so good, and it was like frothy and pink and beautiful. Oh my God, it was so good.
Nice.
I want that one again for sure. I should ask if they can make that anywhere else, like at a
Blue Bayou or something like that. Trader Sam's. Yeah.
Who knows? The Lily Bell.
Disney Cruise. Let's go.
Cruise, right? Oh, I would love to go on a cruise right now. Okay. Most calories / least calories coming in at the highest calorie count for a single food item is the turkey leg. Another reason to skip right over it.
I'm surprised.
1,136 calories.
Wow. I'm surprised because it's just like a hunk of protein.
Yeah. It's probably whatever they like glaze it in or what. I don't even want to think about it. It's so gross.
Oh, yeah. And it's, I think it's dark meat. So it's like the fatty or what. Ugh.
Yep. Nope. I think I told you that story recently when I was walking out of Disneyland and we're near the gates. Like it was like 1 a.m. or something. We're walking, or maybe it wasn't that late. I don't remember. Anyways, we're walking out and I was like, why do I keep smelling turkey leg? There's like this wafting aroma of turkey legs. I'm like, we're so far away from any turkey legs in the park. Like, why am I smelling it? And then finally, I'm like, I kept saying like rude things. I was like, ugh, it's going to make me sick. Like, I can't stand the smell of it. And then this guy turns around and he's eating one right in front of me.
Oh, not somebody you were with, but someone you were walking by the whole time.
A stranger. And I felt so bad because I didn't even think about the fact that someone could be eating one. It was like so strong. The scent was like so strong that I was like, how are we smelling that all the way over here? Because of course they got to be cooking it nearby, right? That's what I was thinking in my head. But no, it was just the poor soul in front of me.
And you're probably walking right through his burp clouds too.
Ugh. Ew, stop. Oh my God. I can't.
Turkey leg.
For some reason, burp clouds to me are worse than farts. Like I cannot.
They are. I think so. They feel more violating for some reason.
And they just, oh God, yes.
And you could tell exactly what the food is, like a hot dog. Oh for example.
God. Okay. Nope, I can't. And to carry on with the disgustingness is our least calorie, and that's the pickle.
Oh.
Tied with a bag of carrots.
I love it.
Both are 25 calories.
That's pretty good.
Oh my God, I'm going to barf pickles and turkey legs. What a bad category. She also asked, what are some Disney food disasters, and asked if there's any racist/non-PC food mistakes. And I am combining these into one because I think it's the same. The biggest food mistakes and everything I can think of lands right in here. And there's been a couple things over the years that have happened. One is a bit older, and it's the Aunt Jemima Pancake House in Frontierland. So obviously there's a lot of sensitivity issues within that.
I don't even know what that is.
Establishment? Oh, yeah. It was at the same building that Riverbell Terrace is at now.
Interesting. And it was like a breakfast spot?
It was, I don't know if it was only breakfast. Maybe. It was a pancake house.
I mean, I don't hate that idea, minus the racist part.
Yeah, except for the racism. But they also had a Aunt Jemima character. Oh, yeah.
Like was a mammy type? That's pretty.
Yeah.
That's, yep. Yeah. And then you yep. got Splash Mountain right there. Yikes.
I know. And yeah. I think it closed in, was it 1970, I believe? So they closed it a lot earlier than Splash Mountain, and Splash Mountain still was like, let's just do this.
Yeah, they're ahead of its time, because even the Aunt Jemima syrup branding at the grocery store didn't change until very recently.
Recently. Yeah. Yep. And I don't know. I should have looked a little more into it. I'm not sure if they got rid of the Pancake House because of stuff like that, or if it was just they were not popular or what. Oh, it was. Oh,
good point.
So yeah. I don't actually know what the reasoning for its removal was, but I would like to look more into that at some point. But I remember they used to have those pancake races down Main Street. Do you remember us talking about that on a previous episode?
Not
where they
really.
Would like flip the pancakes running down Main Street.
That's some so weird... random.
Yeah.
Who, the cast members? Or people?
Yeah, definitely cast members, yeah. Or it was part of, I can't remember. Now I need to know.
Huh.
I think it was only cast members, but it might have been part of like, almost like characters doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think it was like part of a show/parade, not necessarily parade, but a thing, an event going on Main Street, I guess is the best word. But yeah. Very weird stuff and very weird times and not appropriate whatsoever. But I think the most recent one was Lunar New Year of last year. And this is the one that I saw a lot of people talking about, and I also very much agreed. It was just weird timing and culturally insensitive to have a bunch of, like, I am all for fusion foods, but like Lunar New Year might not be the right time to do that, right? Like, it just seems like kind of a weird time to have something like pizza bao with marinara sauce and
interesting
birria egg rolls. It's like the wrap is the only thing that is of Asian descent to that meal versus like the actual food, right? So it just was like a weird thing. They decided to like go all out on the fusion and it upset a lot of people.
Yeah, because it depends on what is the mission or the purpose of that festival. And I thought it was to introduce, right, the authentic culture.
Mm-hmm. Yep, time and place, right?
Like you could do this fun stuff in like San Francisco where it's fictional.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
I've seen them do good fusion at Epcot festivals because, to your point, it might still be the China booth, for example, but it's the Festival of the Arts.
Right, so it's then, like celebrating food instead so of
therefore they're making it creative. Yeah. So, wow. Okay, DCA. I didn't. I might have missed that controversy, but I can see why
that was
it would
just
be
last year offensive. Too. I don't even know if this year. I think it might even be still going on right now.
But a pizza bow does sound good.
Yes, I agree. I want all of the above. Yeah. However, again, time and place. Right? Yeah. And then the last question Christina asked is, what's the Disney meal that sticks out in your memories the most?
I bet you we both have the same one.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Okay.
I would say it's when we did Chef's Table at Napa Rose.
Oh, my God. I was literally going to say that.
Was it? Yeah. The two of us, we did it. That was really memorable.
So many other cool things we've done, too. But for some reason, that's the first one that came to my mind.
Yeah.
Chef's Table, yeah. Napa Rose, totally.
Highly recommend. It felt like we had our own personal chef. You know, he was talking to us as he was making the food, telling us about the ingredients, and even customizing it based on how we spoke about our favorite tastes and things. Yeah.
I wonder how much that costs nowadays. We went in like 2016, I think, and it was $100 each, which now seems
that cheap. Sounds cheap.
Person, right? Yeah. Like,
yeah, I bet you it's like what, 200, 250?
It may be, geez, just since like I guess it's almost 10 years ago at this point. It's like 8 years ago. But definitely, if you guys are foodies, check that Chef's Table out. It is really, really cool experience. And then what is your worst experience?
What's yours?
This one was hard for me. I don't really know that I have a worst. Like, I have a lot of, like, ugh, or, like, meh moments, you know? Like, meh. Like, I think a lot of the, like, those donuts and those, like, weird things they come out with that everyone freaks out about. And I have it. I'm just like, what is this? It's, like, Instagrammable food.
Oh.
Where it's only pretty and it doesn't taste any, like, it's not good.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's, like, mid. Is that what the kids are saying these days?
Yeah, yep.
But not enough to be like, that was the worst thing I've ever eaten.
Right, yeah. I don't have anything that really sticks out like that. I will have to say, I think for me, one of the biggest differences for me and most people is I do not like Ronto Wraps.
Oh, I know Ronto Wraps are
so popular.
Yeah, they're so good. It hits the spot for me.
Yeah, I love the Ronto-less wrap. But the Ronto Wrap, I just like, it just doesn't. Something.
So the plant-based one is good. You like that one?
Yeah, I like the flavor on that one a lot. And you could taste the veggies a lot more. The other one just seems like, to me, it's overpowered with flavor. It's like trying too hard. Like,
I just thought of it. Because we were talking about the festivals and all that, the one thing that I was really excited about and was very disappointed was at Epcot. It was one of the many festivals. And there was a Filipino booth. You know, we don't have a pavilion, but there was a booth out and they had impossible lumpia. So instead of pork or beef, it was, you know, the plant-based protein. It was disgusting. And I was so excited because I was like, you can't really mess that up. Just put the flavors in. You know, you fry the egg rolls, thin cigar shaped, and then you have the good sweet and sour sauce and it's good. No, it wasn't good.
So wait, do they have impossible that comes out similar to... I've never had like ground beef in lumpia. Is that ever a thing?
It's usually ground pork.
Yeah,
so
pork, right? And that's
I think drier? It was trying to do something. Yeah, it didn't taste right.
I wonder if it's just...
Because impossible, to what I know, is usually emulating beef.
Right, like ground beef, right? That's the only time I've ever had it as well. So I was like, oh, maybe it was too like soggy for lumpia.
Yeah, I've seen other plant-based ingredients substituted for things like pork or carnitas, like jackfruit. So I think they could have gone another direction, but yeah. So I would say if I had to pick a worst, it was just that one, because I was really excited to like tell Jerry about these vegan lumpias, and then I was not and I didn't even finish it. I threw the rest away. That's very rare. Whoops. For like a small, you know, the small festival bites. Yeah.
I recently, shout out to Lisa, happiest vegan on earth. She took me to this place called Vegan Land. Right down the street. I think, did I already talk about this on the show? I don't know, but it was so good. I'm still thinking about it. Ooh. And there's a lot of jackfruit stuff. Yeah. And I think in my past, I had had vegan chicken like 100 years ago before, like when there was like the one vegan place in town, right? And it was like a hole in the wall or something. Now it's so popular. They've come up with so many great substitute options for all these types of meat. And so I think I'd only had chicken that one time a long time ago. And then I had a lot of Impossible and Beyond and ground beef substitutes, but nothing else. And this time I had carnitas, I had carne asada, I had all those different types of meat. And it was so good. Like, I had like carne asada fries. I'm like, what? This is yum. There was like the nacho cheese on it and everything. Oh my God, it was so good. Which that I guess nacho good. Cheese is kind of already not very real in the first place, so
that's a good point. But it is hard to find good dairy-free or vegan cheese, nacho, melted cream cheese, especially shredded.
Melty, and it was very melty, so
nice,
super good. Vegan Land, check it out if you guys are
Vegan into Land it. Here in Brooklyn, there's this new, I don't know if it's a chain, it's called Plant Dega, so it's a play on bodega. So people who want bodega food, you know, like those sandwiches and quick breakfast, they now have Plant Dega. But what it is so smart. The company who created it partners with actual bodegas and helps them source the ingredients and everything. So it's super easy for them to make. So you could technically buy Plant Dega from most bodegas now here.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I was talking about that with my brother because he hasn't really understood yet, like how well things have been going. And I was like, if they can just push it a little further and like get the awareness out, I think that nobody will be eating meat ever again, because it's like it's so right. good nowadays, right?
And there's also those this is a squirrel, but there's also the for people who still want to eat meat but don't want to be involved in the killing of animals. You know, everyone has their reasons for why they have their food preferences. They make them from petri dishes. You just grow the meat. It seems weird, but I would eat that if it's good.
Right? Yeah, yeah, if it tastes the same and it doesn't make me sick and isn't like an excessive amount of calories, and what's the fault to that, you know?
Yeah.
So
fascinating.
Fascinating. Well, thank you, Christina, for sending in these topics. It was super fun digging into all this. And we're going to move on over to our next topic, still food related, because we love Disney food. And this one came in from Andrew. And Andrew said, could you please go over the history of Disney restaurants outside of the parks and then imagine your own Disney restaurant coming to a city near you?
Ooh, okay. That was a good one. I remember when we first saw the submission, I thought, oh, like what? Like, how many Disney restaurants are there outside right. of the parks? And then it was a rabbit hole slash iceberg. So I did bring to the show a couple of topics to dive into. And then I would love to revisit this again because it's really interesting. And so when we think of history of Disney restaurants outside of the parks, I focused on ones that were literally outside of the parks, completely away from the resorts. So when I was doing research, there was a lot coming up that are related to Disney Springs and Downtown Disney. So right. we're going to ignore those for now, because to me, those are still yes. kind of in the parks, you know, right?
It's a resort.
Yeah, it's there.
It counts.
So the first big one, and I have watched some YouTubes on this too, it's called Mickey's Kitchen. Does this sound familiar at all to you?
I had never heard of this until Andrew submitted this topic.
Wow. Okay. See, it rang a bell, and I remember seeing like defunct things, so it was fun going back to this one. So let's put our minds in imagination mode. Imagine you're at the mall. For us, it would have been like New Park Mall if you're in LA, like Beverly Center. You're at your mall, and then there's the Disney store.
Right.
Which was there again in like the 90s, right? And next to it is a connected restaurant that's supposed to feel like you're walking right into Mickey's movie studio. So sort of like Runaway Railway Q at Disneyland.
Okay.
And this was back in 1990. So they launched this restaurant chain called Mickey's Kitchen. And it was supposed to bring the Disney magic to like the suburbs or places outside of the resort areas. The ones that I found that actually opened up were Woodfield Mall and Montclair Plaza. And those were the two sort of concept stores. What would you think they serve? I'm going to ask you that, and then I'll get into their menu.
Well, I already know because I looked it up. Oh. But I'm trying to think of what I would have thought of before I knew. I would have thought it would be like almost like a Denny's or something. Like basic, okay. Especially American for the 90s. Food. Like a sit-down. Yeah. Like almost like Goofy's Kitchen too. Maybe something similar.
Yeah.
It sounds like it, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like fun, silly foods that are kind of themed, but kind of regular American food.
Yeah. So what I found, it was more or less that. They just slapped on fun names too. So there was like Goofy's Burger. There was a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I do like that. There is Pinocchio's Pizza, which is actually what it's called in Disney World, I think, the pizza place.
Oh, really?
Pinocchio's. They don't have good pizza. It's like that flatbread pizza. So it was, you know, Disney fans would probably like it because of the fun names. And they also had different French fries shaped like Disney characters, like Mickey. Waffle Mickey
French
fries.
French fries shaped? French fries.
Yeah, I couldn't find any pictures. So I'm assuming they're waffle fries. That was the only thing I could think of that would allow it to have that. Yeah. So they had that. They also had characters there. Mickey Mouse. They even had Winnie the Pooh, Alice in Wonderland. So I guess some photo ops could happen if you were there.
Okay.
And
was this more like, because when I'm picturing it, the Denny's version, I was picturing like a sit down. Was it sit down or was it like counter service, fast food? Like what kind of, what was it like? Do you know?
I don't. I couldn't find those details. I imagine it was counter service.
Yeah, I think I saw a picture. That's what I'm remembering now. Actually, I'm pretty sure it was because I remember a bunch of cashiers.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it was like counter service and then you would go find a
seat. And like McDonald's style tables, like a bunch
of
them.
Yeah, yeah. That era was like so fast food, right? Like the 90s, like the early 90s.
1990. My gosh. But it didn't, the concept didn't work. I don't know what their goals were with it, but they didn't achieve those goals. It closed in 1992, so just a couple years. Some of the things that I looked up that said why they may have failed was because they selected the malls, they are already competing with food courts. So food courts have all
That's a very good point.
All your fast food brands, some pretty cool ones that you might only find at the mall, like Orange Julius and stuff like that. And then that's where you go when you're looking for food. You don't go to the Disney store on the first floor on the west side.
Yeah. So. I did see that said like, oh, they're hoping to drive more business to the Disney store. And I'm like, with a random, like, I can't picture like a restaurant being anywhere but the food court and mall. Unless it's like a full on giant restaurant outside or something, you know?
Yeah. Like a Cheesecake Factory or something.
Right. Or the Red Robin. Remember we had the Red Robin in ours.
Yep, at the mall. So that was weird. Unrelated to this, I just thought of it now, is at the theater in Hollywood, El Capitan, they did try a couple different things next door, restaurants. And I think right now it still is an ice cream soda shop, I think. But that feels a little different. But even that feels weird to me. I remember not even realizing it was there. When I lived in SoCal, I was like, oh, I guess you could just go there, not the movie. But yeah, it just seems strange. So the Disney store / Mickey's Kitchen didn't really work out. I would love to know if anybody actually went and ate there that listens or watches the podcast, because I have questions. Like, what was that experience like? Was the food any good? Do you remember it? Like all those kind of things.
Right. I think it was only open for like 2 years too, right?
Yeah. That's so it's a limited window.
Very limited time. But if you did go there, please, that would be super fun to hear about. What was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say real quick, the ice cream is called a, what did you say? It was ice cream soda
shop, ice cream soda fountain shop. Yeah.
It's all in one giant thing. Danielle and I were there for the grand opening of that.
Oh, really?
And what they did also that day was they laid the Disneyland star on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh.
Like Disneyland got its own star. Isn't that cute?
That's cute.
It's right in front of the ice cream parlor. So if you're ever there, make sure to look at the stars on the ground too.
Okay. It's called Disney's Soda Fountain and Studio Store, adjacent to the El Capitan Theater.
Okay.
Now I guess closed.
We're just supposed to know Soda Fountain is closed?
It says parentheses now closed.
No! I totally thought it was still open.
So did I. I wonder if it's just now a studio store and nothing else.
How sad.
I don't know. But that's according to the internet. If anyone has been recently, let us know. Curious
let
if
us
it's
know.
Yeah, so Mickey's Kitchen did not work. I don't know. Would... Let's say they did figure out the right way to do it. Let's say it was in a food court or it was in places that are more high traffic. Like, if it succeeded, is that something that you'd see yourself going because it's Disney? Or, like, what would your thoughts be on that?
I mean, do I have to go into a mall to go there? Because that's already a hard pass.
Like, we need a drive-through.
Yeah, we need a drive-through right by my house. Or I will probably never visit there. But I also, like, to me, like... I want to say I can't figure out the combo of Disney and fast food. However, it's very much in the theme parks.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, why can't I put those together? It just feels like Disney is a higher level of service than a fast food place. That sounds terrible, but it's just how I picture it. So I can't imagine getting that themed experience at, like, a McDonald's.
Yeah.
For Disneyland, right? Or Disney. So,
like, especially with, like, that basic menu. I'm surprised they didn't go the route of, like, Rainforest Cafe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That sounds like an expensive test, though, so maybe that's why.
Yeah. Yikes. Especially, like, they're so limited on space if they're going to be opening that in the mall right next door. Yeah. So weird.
Disney store. They had to, like, hope the tenant next door, the Hot Topic next door.
Yeah, like, how much should we buy you out for, Hot Topic? You gotta move to the other side of the mall.
Yeah. Huh, interesting. So that's Mickey's Kitchen. Now, there was another rabbit hole that I went down related to Andrew's question about restaurants outside of the parks. And I actually experienced this one. And okay. I've had it on our ongoing topics list for years, and we've never gotten to it because I was waiting for Stranger Things the next season to come out, and it's been years. But I like to call this building the LAX Mind Flayer building because... Mind Flayer. So I know everyone out there who's been to LAX or flown into it or dropped someone off, you've seen this. It looks like a very futuristic... building with like four or five legs and then a glass top. It's very Epcot looking, and it's been there since for a long, long time.
Does it look like the Space Needle, kind of like a small version of the Space Needle?
A kind of small one, less pointy and more like domed with legs. Okay. The Mind Flayer is the one in Stranger Things that, like, funny enough, it showed up at the mall and was like fighting everybody. It's huge, like massive, and it came crawling out of the upside down,
right?
Kind of spider like. So there was a restaurant. The building is still there. It is now defunct. So I did some research on this, and I knew it was Disney created, but I didn't really know more of the specifics. So that's what I dug up. And the building itself is such a boring name. It's just called the LAX Theme Building. So I thought, okay.
Boring.
So... it was back when things were cool to be like space agey and Jetson-y. So picture this theme building, kind of giant flying saucer like. Oh, where are those? Those are in Seattle or Queens?
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's like these buildings that are pointy and looks like there's a UFO on top. And in Men in Black, this is another squirrel. Men in Black, the movie, It turns out those actually were UFOs, so they just parked them in plain sight so that we wouldn't think they were.
So we would never assume so.
And I'm pretty sure they have mini versions at Universal Studios in front of the Men in Black attraction. But anyways, it's this type of architecture. It has four legs. It was in the 1960s that this came out. It was meant to be a love letter to the space age. And
at the LAX airport, because why not?
Airports have the most random, like, museums and things sometimes.
They do.
I'm like, what?
They do.
And so the architects, they were called James Langenheim and Paul Williams and Welton Beckett. I do not know who those people are, but maybe there's some, you know, design fans out there that know who they are. So they're the ones who originally built it. But then they eventually tapped into Disney Imagineering. And this was in 2010, 2012, 2013. It was around that time. It was hard to find the perfect year. But they did tap Disney Imagineering to redo it. And they redid it. And it was still retro-futuristic. They kind of restored it to what it was supposed to be. And then they made it a really nice restaurant. And I remember the menu, like, it felt Disney. It wasn't, there wasn't, like, Mickey Mouse or anything. So I'm not sure how much Disney it was supposed to be versus them just contracting Imagineering to fix the restaurant. And that is still up in the air. There's a lot of mystery around this building. It is now closed. You cannot go to the restaurant.
I was just about to ask. Okay.
Yeah, you cannot go. I had went with one of my friends, Stacy, and I think it was when we were living there, or I went back or something. And I went there and we were so excited because I was like, this is Imagineering Disney. You take like this cool elevator to get to the actual building part on the top of the legs. And in my mind, it rotated. I cannot find any information that says that it rotated.
I mean, most of the ones that look like that do, right?
Right? I feel like it should. And we're so excited. Found Saran Wrap in our mashed potatoes. We'll never forget it. I was so mad. I was so mad. And you know when you bring somebody who's not Disney, you everything has to be perfect? You want it to be perfect.
Yeah. You're like...
I'm like embarrassed for them.
Oh, there's your worst Disney food experience from earlier.
Right, there you go. Like, oh my God, I'm like apologizing on Disney's behalf. Why? So we were not happy.
You felt responsible. You're like, I'm so sorry.
We never went there again. And then I found out eventually it shuttered. So it's still there. It's a defunct building. I'm surprised they haven't done something again with it, but it's still there. So perhaps one day they will tap. LAX will tap another company. Maybe it may be Disney Imagineering again, but yeah, so there's nothing there now, but that's a weird one.
It is a weird one.
Yeah.
Disney's like tried to step their toes into a couple things and then kind of like it didn't really work when it's outside of the parks too much, right? Like even the Queen Mary, right? They like owned the Queen Mary for some time and they never really did much with it.
Yeah.
So
like, I mean, Long Beach just parked
what's
there.
Up with that? What's going on? Another one is ESPN Zone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did those ever pop out outside of the resort?
They did. So we first saw them at Disney, I think it was called Downtown Disney at the time. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. In Walt Disney World, it was at the Boardwalk. I always thought it was in Disney Springs.
That's right.
But that was the ESPN Experience or something like that.
Yeah.
It was over at Disney Springs, right? So originally it was at the Boardwalk. And then they opened another one at our Downtown Disney in Disneyland. So we've seen that there, but they did also open up some other locations, quite a few actually. They opened up in 1998 in Baltimore, 99 in Chicago. And then after that, they're like, we're going to open one every 3 months moving forward. They were like, let's pump these babies out, right? Then they opened one in 99 in New York City, again 99 in Washington, D.C., 2000 Atlanta. Then they took a little bit of time off. And then in 2001, they opened one in Denver and Las Vegas. And then not until 2008 did they open one in Los Angeles. So
wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, they had like eight different locations outside of the parks.
Wow.
For ESPN Zone. And if you guys don't remember ESPN Zone, or if you never visited it in Downtown Disney before it closed down, it's basically, it's like a sports bar on crack is like what I used to say. It's just
TVs
like
TVs everywhere.
Yeah, there is like full menu, so you have a full meal, And of course, there's a bar, so you could drink there too. And then they had just massive, massive TV screens everywhere around the place so you could watch all the sports. They often broadcast like the very important games there. Like if Super Bowl was playing, they'd have it over the whole place to turn into a Super Bowl party. They had a lot of events there too, which is kind of crazy. They had the Couch Potato Olympics or something like that.
Oh.
They play little games and people would like lay in these recliners and like do something to do with sports. So it was like very sports centric. But one thing I thought was super cool about this is that each shift, the staff members received daily sports news briefings, and then they printed out new placemats for all the tables. So the placemats would have like current up-to-date statistics on sports, which I never knew that.
That's pretty cool for sports fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah, I wish they would have like Disney statistics printed on something for us every day at the parks. That'd be fun to grab. But kind of like a cool memento to keep too, because you could then take them. There's paper placemats that you could take. So
yeah,
super, super cute. I think closed them all down now. So it didn't work out either for whatever reason.
Wow. That one seems like it would have succeeded because it was less in-your-face Disney. And it was like one of their sub brands type of thing.
Right. Yeah. Especially the ones outside the park. Right. Like I never liked it in Downtown Disney because I was like, what is this
sports bar?
Who wants to go to who wants to watch a Super Bowl right now? You know, that's just me. But I'm sure a lot of people did. In fact, when like the Warriors were in the playoffs, we went to Splitsville to watch the game.
Oh,
so like
yeah.
We would have probably originally gone to ESPN Zone to watch the game.
On the Disney cruises, people love to go into whatever the Irish pub is usually where they play all the sports too. So yeah, I guess if you're on a Disney trip and you're a sports person, you got to keep up with what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. And it is fun to watch those exciting games. So fine. But yeah, but when you're right. They're like so... Like, a lot of people don't know that ESPN is even owned by Disney. So
right,
like,
yeah.
If it's just ESPN Zone and it's this mega sports complex that you get to go enjoy watching a game at, then I don't know why that wouldn't have survived, but it did not, nonetheless.
Wait, is the one... Oh, the one at Downtown Disney... I mean, yeah, mixing it up. Downtown Disney, Disneyland, that's the one where the building is still there.
Building's still there, closed. Yeah, okay. And they use it for random...
And that's where we want to put escape rooms in, ideally.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah, it was built to feel like you're in some kind of a stadium type view. So, like, I feel like they have a lot of space in there.
Yeah. Huh.
Bring it on. Excuse me. All right. So, next up, Andrew said, if we were to create our own and imagineer our own Disney restaurant outside of the parks, what would we do with that? Like, what would that look like? So, Mike, what do you have prepared?
I know exactly what I would want.
Oh, okay.
And I think it, well, I'm going to say I think it would do well, but after going through those failed restaurants, who knows? I don't know.
Who knows?
But I thought we should bring some of the magic that we love from Oga's Cantina.
Okay.
At Galaxy's Edge Star Wars Disneyland, and then, you know, make it even bigger into a full-on bar restaurant and put it all over American cities. So some of the names I came up with were Cantina Galactica.
Okay.
I like that one. Well, that was the one name that I liked. And it would have a live band playing at all the times. So that's like the Cantina band. Or I had another idea. If they can't afford that or they want to make it more children or family friendly, they could do like a Sunny Eclipse style, Chuck E. Cheese style band. So that way it's always playing.
Can we just have a moment of silence for Chuck E. Cheese? Why are we losing these animatronics? Is it really because of Five Nights at Freddy's?
Wait, I don't... What is this? What's this topic?
They've taken all the animatronics out. There's no more animatronics at Chuck E. Cheese.
What?
You know about that?
That's the whole point.
They pulled our first job.
That's the whole point is to go there.
That's right.
No, you always think it is. But it was,
how was that not your first job, but it was my first job?
Oh, God. I've been working child labor since before I had a worker's permit. Off. Cash under the table. My first job was this mug and t-shirt printing, screen
That's
printing.
That's right. It was Zazzle or something.
Yeah, and I was getting paid cash under the table, no taxes.
Jesus. That's a huge company now, too, if that was it.
always working. No, it was just some lady who like owned it. And we would make stuff specifically for Hayton Ashbury souvenirs that would go to these San Francisco souvenir shops.
Oh my gosh.
Very weird. And I still remember, okay, this is another squirrel. I still remember getting my first cash, I guess it's a paycheck, but it was cash, and going to Jack in the Box and being able to afford my own meal. And it was expensive. I always thought Jack in the Box was like premium. And I was just like so happy. I still remember.
You must be thinking of Carl's Jr.
The both of them. Carl's Jr. is very premium too, because they would bring it to your table with the little table tent.
Do they still do that?
They still do. I just had Carl's Jr. in Mexico and they still did. Okay, so Star Wars restaurant, Cantina Galactica. So it's going to have live music or animatronics, depending on the budget. And then it's going to have a lot of different areas. So if you want to eat in like the Endor Eats area, it'll be, you know, more foresty. You might want to eat in the Hoth area. It's a little more wintry.
Ooh, it's gonna be freezing.
Little cold. So I'm thinking like Rainforest Cafe level of detail.
Okay.
And like, it just go full obnoxious, loud. Like, you're not going there to have a conversation. You're going there to have a fun, wild party or dinner or lunch.
That. I love
birthdays would be really fun there. They would have one of the most popular items there is the Wookiee cookie. It's going to be course. Like a Pazookie, so it'll have like the ice cream and stuff on it.
Ooh, yum.
Except the ice cream is made with blue milk instead of regular milk.
Oh my gosh. Why don't they have that yet?
Yeah, I don't know why. They have those nasty smoothies instead at Galaxy's Edge. Sweet ones. There would be the Yoda soda bar. And so this is a lot like the Epcot tasting things, except you'd be tasting sodas from different planets in the Star Wars galaxy. And so where I was going with this restaurant is, to be honest, what I still kind of wanted out of the Star Wars land is it's Star Wars themed. It's not meant to be like you're having your Star Wars story. It's just too complicated to like immerse yourself.
Yeah.
This is just fun, like funny puns and things that make you think about the movie. And it doesn't have to be like timeline accurate canon. Like, this is just a fun Star Wars restaurant where any Star Wars fan or casual like sci-fi lover would enjoy their time and have a fun time. Another popular item there is the Tatooine tacos. You can have different choices, and the taco shells and tortillas are going to be, you know how they have like blue corn and stuff in real life? So they're going to be like those fun kind of colors. I was inspired by the really cool Asian fusion, actually, they did over in Pandora at Disney World. They have a lot of cool alien looking foods that really just took inspiration from like Asian foods and like the things like the bao, cheeseburger bao there. We were talking about that pizza bao earlier. So yeah, you could have fun stuff like this. And then the best part is they could have special events there for all kinds of things, all kinds of Star Wars things, you know, like May the 4th, Star Wars movie releases, things like that, screenings for stuff. And then of course there'll be like a little shop just like Rainforest Cafe, so you can get all your Star Wars merch without going to Disney parks. You could go to your local mall or wherever this restaurant would be. And yeah, that would be it. It would be a
It's also very Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah, totally.
The whole gift shop, right? But it worked. And they had the weird tree. They could have some weird thing to do in the gift shop too. It's fine.
And you hang out there when you're waiting for your table to be ready. So there you go.
Yeah. Super, super cute. I love it. I would totally go eat there.
Yeah.
All the time.
Let's go.
So mine, I went a little different with it. I am putting it in San Francisco because I don't think it would survive anywhere else in the Bay Area.
Ooh.
But for some reason, what came to my mind as the like quick, easy response is to just pull these restaurants off the cruise ships and let us go to them elsewhere.
Yeah.
There's so many good themed restaurants that are so Disney that you could just place anywhere and like it would be so good. Like the one we went to in, it was like an Arendelle with like live entertainment. Like that would be so cool to be able to do without having to go to a cruise ship. I get it. It's part of the reason you want to go on the cruise, but also I want to do that stuff other times as well. But I like thought a little bit about like what else we could play with in Imagineering, and they're constantly innovating. And it reminded me of this place. I still have never gone to it in San Francisco. But they have a place where you eat in complete darkness. Did you ever eat there before?
I've been to the one here in New York.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Did it work? It's supposed to like heighten your other senses, right? Because you can't see. So you can taste your food better. Did it do anything?
It was weird. Like, I don't know if it was just because the food was mid. Look at me trying to be cool and hip. The food was just regular. Like, and it was weird. Like, I don't think you knew what it was. You just told them whether, you know, your food allergies, if you can't eat meat or whatever. And it was like short rib or something. And the whole experience was just weird. I remember like reaching out my arm a lot to touch Jerry. They sat you across from your person rather than next to them. Scaring him
the whole wrestling whole meal.
Just like to make sure he's still there.
Oh.
And yeah, so I didn't think it was very novelty. It felt novelty. What I did like that I was not expecting was that all the servers were visually impaired and or blind. So
I did not know that. Yeah. That's really cool.
I like that part. That was the best part. Like they would talk about it. They would tell their story while you were getting served your courses. So there was like a connection to feeling like you can't see.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It was neat. And the server we happened to get, you know, you and I love a dark story. He was not born blind. He was shot in the head and it made him blind. And I was like, okay, this is getting weird and interesting, like, aside from the food. And then you had to do that whole thing where, like, it was timed. You know, you had a seating, like, a certain time.
Right.
And then you sat in this other area waiting where the lights dimmed for, like, 15 minutes so that you would get used to it.
Ooh, it adjusted your... Ooh, okay. Uh-huh. I wish they would have that in the everywhere queues at Disneyland, dark places. Too.
Yeah. And then they made you do like the arm train on each person's shoulder as you got sat into your table.
Oh my God, hilarious.
They made sure like everything, there was no light leak. It was pitch black. So yeah, I thought it was cool, but it was just one time.
Well, you mentioned the word novelty and guess what Disney is? It's very novelty. So I think that would fit right in. excuse me, I have to keep clearing my throat today. But I feel like if the Imagineers got tasked to... looking at places like that currently exist, I feel they could like do it really well. It doesn't have to be this pitch black experience, but something else that really pulls something else out of you that you weren't expecting out of a meal.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, I really want that to kind of vibe for whatever they're going to create. And yeah, I don't know exactly what else they could do, but I just think it would be done really well regardless. There's also this other meal place in San Francisco that was kind of part of this like VR experience place where it's kind of trippy and like really pretty artwork and super cool place to kind of wander around. But they had this meal that was fully immersed in projection mapping.
Oh.
And that reminded me kind of, don't they do that on one of the cruise ships sort of too, like Remy's or something? There's something to do with projection mapping.
There's the... it's called Animator's Palette. It's more so screen-based, but the newer ships do have projection mapping on the decor and ceiling and stuff like that, I think.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so it transforms throughout your courses.
Okay, very cool. So this one, they were doing something with the actual table you're looking at and, like, your dish and everything. So there's, like, certain ways you had to set your food to get it to, like, come to life. And so they would really do some cool projection mapping with your food. And it looks kind of like whatever, but I feel like these things that are in their infancy and like these brand new ideas, Disney could take and like run with and do it really well.
Yeah.
So, and that's a very private experience. It was like a similar to like 21 Royal where you had to buy out the whole dinner table. And then it's only your group. So you get a private dining space. I'm sure there's multiple rooms where they're doing it at the same time, but it was this whole dining experience with just your group of people, which I also think is really cool. And I want to, like, emphasize, like, exclusivity on this one because, like, we love to hate exclusivity, right? We hate it because it's hard to get in. However, once you get in, it's the best thing ever, right? You're like, oh, my God. And you also don't get to do it all the time, so it doesn't kill it for you. Like, it's like, oh, that place, I've done that before. It's like, whatever. It's like you can only do it once every 10 years or something, and it's exciting to get back in. So I think they should run with that, make this like super fancy exclusive restaurant, and then have another fun one as well. It's like
that's good. Disney fans, like you said, they live for that. So if this restaurant was hard to get into, it's like putting that line outside of the nightclub, no matter how crowded the nightclub is.
Right.
I like that. I like that. I also liked your cruise ship restaurant idea, like the bringing Arendelle to San Francisco or to a city. That reminds me of like tourist areas that have successful medieval times restaurants.
Right.
And those work. So find the right Disney property where that makes sense.
Yep.
And then totally. I can't believe we didn't think of this until I'm just thinking of it now. I'm like, wait, what is natural for food in Disney? Remy's. Like, why not have Remy's French restaurants every night?
Right.
And real subtle, you know, it doesn't have to be super Disney. That could work.
It could totally work. Well, now I'm freaking starving. Thanks, Christina and Andrew. Yeah. Jeez.
It's a good topic. I want to come back to that one time because I stopped going down the rabbit hole, like I said earlier, about Disney Springs and Downtown Disney. But there's so much more I want to explore there, like Gideon's. Like, what are these non-Disney-owned restaurants? How did they end up there? Were right. there or are there any actual Disney-owned restaurants? Yeah, I have a lot of questions. It's another iceberg.
All the questions.
For another time.
I love it. Well, today we did two Patreon topics, one from Christina, one from Andrew, all about food inside and outside of the parks. Thank you guys so much for submitting them.
And thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed episode 180 of the Disneyholic Show.
Follow us on social media at the Disneyholics.
And if you want to get in touch, send us a DM on Instagram or contact us at thedisneyholics.com.
Okay, bye.
Churros, it's me. I was wondering for years how you taste filled up with cream cheese, how you pair with everything. They say the clowns aren't supposed to scare ya, but I just run away screaming. But churros, can you hear me? I've been California dreaming, that's a new frying technique. One time I dipped you in frosting. I'd forgotten how it felt before I tasted you so sweet. There's a difference between us. Still my heart, it's mine. Churros from the other side, I hear their voices late at night. Sorry, so won't you please pass me some at a keen sunny yet? I'll eat everyone. Churros baked and steamed or fried. That's how I wanna live my life. And no, I'm not sorry. The sight fills my heart, and if you how long there won't be any left anymore.
Man, I really want to go to Disneyland.